Albert Breer covers the NFL for NFL Network, for NFL.com, and he's kind enough to join us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline. So, Albert, my first question to you is your take on this new-look Browns team as it gets ready 8 days now to the start of its training camp.
Well, you know, I think it's really interesting, Vic, and just the composition of the team right now. You know, and that you've got a first-time head coach, and you got a first-time head coach there in Chud, and then behind him you've got two very, very experienced coordinators in Turner and Horton. So I think their training camp is going to be one of the more fascinating ones, you know, for a number of different reasons. But I think mostly just kind of seeing how that staff works with the group of young players that they have. The transition, obviously, over to the 3-4 is going to be part of that, going back to what Rob Ryan did there a few years ago. You know, and on the offensive side of the ball, obviously the maturation of Brandon Wheaton and some of the other young skill position players. So, you know, I think that the nice thing about the spot that the Browns are in right now is they've got, I think Tom Hackett left them with a good amount of young talent, and there's a good baseline of young talent there. And a lot of that young talent is there cheap. And so gives them a lot of flexibility as far as what they want to do with their roster. And how they want to build going forward. You know, of course, I think, you know, as is the case in any place where, you know, you have a Tom Brady or Peyton Manning at quarterback, the first question to answer is going to be at that position.
Yeah, and the real critical question is that, and I guess to get your take on Brandon Wheaton and how far you think he can come in 1 year's time as a rookie now undergoing a coaching change as well with a new head coach and especially the new quarterbacks coach coordinator in North Turner. I mean, you know, a lot of us are putting a lot of stock in Turner's ability to make Wheaton a better quarterback, but it wasn't like he worked with poor coaches last year. Brad Childress did some pretty good things with a guy named Donovan McNabb back in Philadelphia. Pat Shurmur knows his way around quarterbacks, worked with Sam Bradford in St. Louis, got a pretty good rookie year out of him. How do you see that Wheaton development?
Well, you know, I think it's just another year, you know, and you know, that's part of it. And look, let's not skirt the, you know, kind of the elephant on the couch here, which is you aren't dealing with a 22-year-old kid, you know. And I think part of that is probably organizationally, and you know, I would say you probably want to try and get answers on the kid a little bit quicker, because you know his window to be a top NFL quarterback, if he can get to that level, is going to be a little bit shorter. And so you want to see as fast as you can what you have in the kid, not only for 2013, but also going forward. One of the good things here is, as far as what Norv Turner does, you know, versus the West Coast type of offense that Pat Shurmur and Brad Childress ran, is there's going to be more downfield concepts. And, you know, you see, and obviously losing Josh Gordon at the beginning of the year is not going to help, but, you know, if you look and you see what Wheaton did at Oklahoma State, you know, the short passing game was important there, but he also did a good job of taking advantage, you know, of some of those opportunities downfield with a guy like Justin Blackmon. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see what Norv Turner is able to do with him. And, you know, you'll see over the course of Norv Turner's career, he helped Philip Rivers. You know, obviously, Rivers had a little bit of a couple of, a rougher time the last couple of years, but Alex Smith, early in his career when he struggled, his best year came under Norv Turner. And so I think at the very least, you might expect a little bit of a bounce in the performance of Brandon Wheaton. Now, whether it's sustainable or not is something that I think the Browns are going to have to judge, and that will obviously guide their decision-making at that position going forward, after the 2013 season.
And, Albert, the way this team has positioned itself with, you mentioned Tom Hackett and the drafting that he did, but they invested a third overall pick in Trent Richardson, a very, very high pick to invest in any player, but especially a running back. And when you really look hard at it and obviously see the guys like Alfred Morris and other players who have produced strong numbers, and there's a history of this, strong numbers who didn't have to be taken in the top five or the top ten or even in the first round, it sort of underscores the idea that, you know, there's a lot of investment in this guy, and therefore the carryover to this coaching staff is to get that production from him and make him a meaningful part of this team and offense. My question to you is, as you look at what Trent Richardson's all about and know what Norv Turner is all about, I mean, can you see him making a dramatic jump from a year that was really defined more about how he dealt with injuries than how much he truly produced.
Yeah, I certainly can see if he can stay healthy. And here's the problem, I don't think the injury thing's insignificant. And the reason why is you've started to hear this reputation that Alabama players have for coming into the league beat up and coming to the league maxed out. So, I think Trent Richardson, that's something you got to watch for with players that come out of that program, and particularly a player who played that position. Now, I know he split time for most of his time at Alabama with Mark Ingram, but, you still have to watch and see, are these injury problems, is that part of who he is? Now, if you can get past that and you can keep him healthy, I think Norv Turner can help him. You can look back and along with the quarterbacks, the other thing that Norv Turner's been able to do over the course of his career has been good for running backs. Whether it's Frank Gore in San Francisco, LT in San Diego, obviously Emmitt Smith, the stuff that happened there in Dallas is legendary. So can he be good for Trent Richardson? Sure he can be. The other part of this, too, when you talk about the investment, I think it's a little bit different, first of all, obviously the people that are in that building aren't as invested in Trent Richardson because they weren't the ones who drafted him. And another thing that helps them, kind of go into this with an objective point of view is the money that's sunk into him because of the new rookie salary system, isn't as heavy either. So there's less pressure on them to get more out of him. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't want to try and maximize his talent. And I think when Tom Hackett and those guys looked at it, they didn't look at Trent Richardson as a running back. They looked at him as the type of player that defenses were going to have the game plan for. And so I think that's going to be the onus on Norv Turner. It's going to be to try and turn him into a player that's keeping defensive coordinators awake at night, somebody that they have to game plan for. Those are the types of players that make the other skill position players better. And so it'll be interesting to see creatively what Norv Turner does to try and get Trent Richardson in a position to make plays and threaten defenses.
Albert Breer from NFL Network and NFL.com joins us. And Albert, you talk about creativity and defensive coordinators. Ray Horton was brought in to bring just that to this Browns team, the 3-4 scheme that is being implemented. But more importantly, what he can get out of some very key assets that were brought in here. Paul Kruger from free agency, Barkevious Mingo from the draft, Quentin Groves from free agency as well, and Desmond Bryant from free agency. I mean, when you look at the investment that this Browns team has made to try to upgrade that front seven in a hurry and get the most out of what Ray Horton can bring them as a coordinator, how realistic is it to think that can come about this year?
Well, I mean, you look at it, they've already got, one of the best young corners in the game in Joe Hayden. Because he's got a good young safety in T.J. Ward. I think the hope is guys like Phil Taylor are going to, be able to come along. I think right now what you're looking at is that outside linebacker position. That's what's so fascinating about this. Because Ray Horton obviously comes from that Steeler lineage. And in Arizona, he had a very good defense, but they didn't have those edge players. And so now he's back in a position that's not unlike what he had in Pittsburgh where, now we've invested resources in taking care of those edge positions and having, having guys who can get to the quarterback, off the tackles. And so, I think a lot of his success, obviously they've tied up a lot in Barkevious Mingo and draft pick capital. And obviously Paul Kruger, how she's going to fit into all of this. They've done a lot to try to put themselves in a position to pressure the quarterback. And, what I think really is interesting about it is this going to look like a Pittsburgh type of defense with Ray Horton's background? And then on top of that, is this going to help maybe help guys back there, in the secondary, guys like Joe Hayden, make more plays on the ball? And are you going to be able to get points on the defensive side of the ball because you're able to do those types of things? Certainly, you can see the emphasis there from Mike Lombardi and from Chudzinski and from Ray Horton in trying to get guys who are going to be able to give you a chance in the passing game and against some of the quarterbacks in the AFC North, the Roethlisbergers and the Flaccos. And I think that's the idea is if you can get guys who can get to the quarterback and who can affect the quarterback, you're going to give guys like Joe Hayden a better chance to make more plays.
Albert, how do you sort of see the whole balance of competition in the AFC as you assess it? I mean, we're talking Browns now, but there's been all kinds of news that we know that's really shaken this league, most of it coming out of New England, and I know you covered that a great deal.
Yeah.
and know all about that with the Aaron Hernandez story and how dramatically different it's going to be for this Patriot team to go into the year missing most of the top receiving core that it had from 2012. Because if all those pieces are in place, you look at the Pats as a team that once again is making a run at a Super Bowl. Do you still see it like that? But in general, how do you see the AFC shaking out, Patriots and all, for contending teams?
To me, Vic, I still think the Patriots are an easy pick as the favorite in the AFC. I think where this really hurts them is can they go when they get into the playoffs? And here's the problem is that they already were going to have a lot of turnover at those receiver spots. And so naturally, because of that, they were going to lean a little bit more on the tight ends. If you go back and you look at it, Brandon Lloyd, Wes Welker. I mean, Tom Brady's going to be breaking in an entirely new group, whether it's the rookies and Dobson, and Dobson and Boyce, and then obviously bringing in Danny Amendola. Now losing Aaron Hernandez, I think it really puts, it really heightens the importance of keeping guys with injury history like Gronkowski and Amendola healthy, and then probably turns the clock back on them a little bit. Maybe they look a little bit more like they did in 2007 and 08 and 09, where you saw more three receiver sets. One of the underrated things about Hernandez is, how much he kind of could become that guy. If you did have to go without Welker, or you had to manage Welker's snaps a little bit because he was banged up, now Hernandez could be that threat for you out of the slot. It gave you another layer of depth. Well, now that layer of depth at the slot position is out of there. I think that heightens the importance on Danny Amendola. You don't have anybody like Hernandez who can move around the formation that way. So, my guess is they look a little bit more like that. I think it hurts them. It means they're going to be better in the running game. It means they're going to have to be better on defense. And ultimately, it's going to be interesting to see, how that affects the entire race, the overall race in the conference. I think Denver, you look at them on paper, as long as they can stay healthy, because I don't know what the depth's there, but if they can stay healthy, I think most people will put them at the top of the list. And then I think Houston and even Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a team that if that quarterback comes along, you look at the roster and it's really solid in a lot of other places. I look at it and I think it was wide open last year. I think it's even more wide open than it was a year ago. And it should make for an exciting race. I still think, I felt this way for a while, the most talented teams in the league are in the NFC.
Will training camps have any kind of a different feel this year in light of what this offseason has been like? Which, let's face it, it hasn't been a great one for the league with all the arrests and so forth and the problems that have occurred. In any way, shape, or form, is that part of what you're hearing from the league's end as far as messaging is concerned? And then on top of that, the safety issues that the league constantly harps upon, certainly they're doing this a lot with youth football. Do you see any carryover with that in terms of how teams have to be coached and guided through this summer preparing for the season?
Yeah, well, it's a tough one, Vic. The league's dealing with a lot of this stuff with the concussions and everything else. And I think that it's, you're always trying to strike that balance. And I actually think that's why some of the college coaches have done well, more recently. Is if you look at a Pete Carroll, you look at a Jim Harbaugh, you look now at Chip Kelly coming in at Philadelphia. I mean, those guys, at the college level, had to work around those types of rules that really constrained what they could do. In the off season, and then in their fall camp, and so they've got a good feel for how you get the most out of the time that you're given, and from a time management standpoint, I think it's given them a little bit of a leg up on how to prepare their teams. It's interesting because, and I know you were around the Buffalo Bills in the early '90s, and I remember those teams being criticized because they didn't. They had a little bit of a country club atmosphere in practice, and they didn't hit the way some other teams did, and they managed their veterans. But really, if you look back and you see what Marv Levy and Bill Polian did, and Polian carried that over to Carolina and Indianapolis, you're seeing that maybe they saw something back then that is going to transfer over, and maybe they were a little bit ahead of their time in what they were doing back then. With all of this stuff, obviously, I think, there's an element of wanting to keep your team healthy, but also an element of having to get your team ready to play. Getting your team ready and having your team ready to play 16 games. And with the concussion issues and everything else, obviously everybody's radar is going to be up for that stuff. And it puts coaches in a position where they've got to be a lot more creative with their time.
Well, Everett, we appreciate the time you've given us, and we look forward to catching up with you down the line, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks, Vic. Appreciate it.
All right. He is Albert Breer from NFL Network and NFL.com, and he joins us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. There is much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.